You guys can start turning to Acts 15 this morning. So as you guys have heard plenty this morning, Jeff and Nancy Clark will be ministering this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. They're dear friends of ours, and they come bearing the word of the Lord. And those of you who have been here in the past when they've been here, you know and you that they listen and hear from God, and they let Him run the show. And whatever He's telling them is what they're repeating back to us. I would say they've been known to completely stop service when God's prompting them for a word of something. And there's no holding back for what they have planned, for what God has planned. They don't mind if God interrupts the message they prepared. They embrace it and just let it flow. They say that, Holy Spirit, You're the one in charge. So if this is what you're looking for me to say today, so be it. They recognize that God is God and they are not. So whatever God says is what goes. It's good to have people from outside our local congregation come in and tell us what God's telling them. So sometimes we hear that God's telling people the same thing all across the country. It's good for us to have confirmation that we're hearing the same thing and going forward in unity as a body, as a nation. It's just like God to use someone who isn't familiar with what God's already been telling us as a congregation, or that He's got a word for what somebody's specifically going through, that you know that there's no way they would have known. It's just like God to send people out to. It shouldn't be a new concept for us here at New Life that He sends people out. We have some local missionaries here that God sends out. He's got some that He's sent out for a time, and now He's brought back for a time. So I told you guys to start turning to Acts 15, but I'm going to set up what's going on in Acts 15 before we look at the verses. See, there's a major city in the Roman Empire called Antioch. Antioch was actually their third largest city there. It had mostly Gentiles, so mostly people that did not descend from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So they didn't grow up with the Mosaic Law. They didn't have the law as their guide. So there was a little bit of a divide over the Jewish law that you had to follow and when the Gentiles started accepting Christ. So now I said that there were a lot of Gentiles there in Antioch. But what you also don't realize is there were also a lot of Jews that already had been settling there in Antioch. See, these Jews had been a part of when the nation of Israel was taken off into captivity. And when nations were conquered, they would take people and transplant them to a part of the kingdom that conquered them. Well, not all the Jews returned to Israel. So some of these Jews had actually been settled for a while in Antioch. So they were familiar with the Mosaic Law. They were familiar with what was going on in the Torah. So you had a mixed group here, both Jews and Gentiles. But Christ died for both of them. So there was also a division of false teachers that rose and started changing people's way of thinking there as well. So they were trying to mix the law and grace that Jesus came for. They were trying to still adhere to some of the laws that Moses gave in the Old Testament. All the rules that we could never live up to on our own. The very rules that Jesus was able to live up to while He was here as a man. So there are a lot of Gentiles coming to a relationship with Christ. So many that Paul and Barnabas were sent to Antioch for a full year in Acts 11. There were great things being done in Antioch and a lot of ministry being done. Paul and Barnabas, they wound up being sent on to one of Paul's missionary trips. But while they were gone, that's when some false teachers that didn't line up with the grace and mercy and truth that Jesus came and died for, that these false teachers seemed to be dragging down the believers, bogging them down with things like what the Pharisees and the Sadducees and scribes tried doing, where they tried adding stipulations, adding things they had to do. And it almost contradicted the faith that the Gentiles were being preached. So there's one disagreement that was over circumcision, and such sparked such a fierce argument that the church sent delegates away with Paul and Barnabas back to Jerusalem to see what God was telling others as well. See how it lined up with what Holy Spirit was telling, was revealing to other believers. So there they sought God together, listened to what the group thought, listened to what they had to say for what their arguments were, and they came back with what they heard from God. Peter stood up and gave an exhortation to let everyone know what God was telling him, that God doesn't look at distinctions between Jews and Gentiles, that he gave the Gentiles the same Holy Spirit that he had given them, that their belief is what saved them, that we shouldn't be limiting God's grace by putting extra rules on what they're trying to do. So now this doesn't have anything to do with today's message, but I wanted to use it as a warning for today as well. Sometimes we try to add extra stuff onto people once they're saved. Say this prayer. Okay, now don't drink, don't chew, don't go with girls that do. You have tattoos? Yeah, you got to hide those. No. God's full of grace. God's full of love. We can't bog people down with extra rules that were never intended for us to try to bear. People are going to be messy when they first accept Christ. People are going to be trying to hold on to things that God hasn't separated them from yet. No one ever told me I needed to stop drinking. God was the one who told me that I need to stop. And I had a full case in the cupboard, too. So I did what anybody would do. I took them out and shook them up and shot them. True story. But we can't expect to have people instantly shedding off stuff that is hurting them. That's for God to reveal to them. Sometimes people start to get that viewpoint on baptisms too. Oh, you have to get baptized to be saved. Oh, you need to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. Don't get me wrong, those are good things. Those are things we should be doing. But it has nothing to do with our salvation. It should be done out of desire for obedience, not out of a law that somebody says, hey, you need to do this. It should flow out of our heart and our desire to want to do that. Because then it turns it from grace to law if it's something that you're told that you have to do. It moves from not earning it to, hey, you got to do this to get to heaven. In this case, Peter recognized it and encouraged everyone with the words that God gave him. And so then they were all going to return to Antioch. So I'm going to cover 15:22 first. Then it pleased the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, who was also named Barsabbas, and Silas, leading men among the brethren. Now I'm going to jump ahead a few verses here, but I want you to know who is being referred to when it said they later in this chapter. So they is Paul and Barnabas, and then the other two key people here that God's going to use are Judas and Silas. So skipping down to verse 30. So when they were sent off, they came to Antioch. And when they had gathered the multitude together, they delivered the letter. When they had read it, they rejoiced over its encouragement. Now Judas and Silas themselves, being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with many words. And after they had stayed there for a time, they were sent back with greetings from the brethren to the apostles. So there's a couple things that jump out at me here in these verses. The first one is that they gathered. There was an anticipation that was going on here. They gathered because they wanted to hear. They gathered because they wanted to hear what the word of the Lord was. They wanted to understand what was going on. They wanted to receive what the answer was. They were ready to receive what God had planned. The word of God drove a reaction from the people. The next thing is in verse 31 here. They rejoiced over its encouragement. God's word is an encouragement to us. Not to condemn us, it gives us hope, not frustration. His word sets us free. It doesn't put shackles on us. Paul recognizes this in Galatians 5, starting in verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Indeed, I, Paul, say to you that if you become uncircumcised, that if you become circumcised, Christ will profit you nothing. And I testify again to every man who becomes circumcised that he is a debtor to keep the whole law. If you have become estranged from Christ, you attempt to be justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision avails anything, but faith working through love. Jesus made us free. He said that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. Jesus made us free. Sometimes we try to follow parts of the law. Now, I'm not saying the law is bad, but it's up to you to recognize if that's something that God's prompting you to follow. It's not something you're bound to, trying to follow every one of those rules. See, if you're trying to use the law to get saved, it's only going to result in frustration. The encouragement is that we are saved by faith through grace. We're saved by faith alone, in Christ alone. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision does anything, but faith working through love. We get caught up in arguing with ourselves instead of trying to love on others. When someone has an opposing viewpoint, I always try to see where they're coming from. I try to understand what their view is on it. It doesn't mean that we're going to agree, but it does mean that I still love them. That's the important thing, is that we try to encourage one another, not to try to drive strife or division. Acts 15:31-32 out of the Passion Translation. When the people heard the letter read out loud, they were overjoyed and delighted by its encouraging message. Then Judas and Silas, who were both prophets, spoke to them affirming words and that strengthened the believers. One of the things about prophecy is that it should be affirming words, encouraging words, strengthening words. A number of years ago, it was shortly after we moved out here to Rochester, we had somebody come up and give us a word. And they came up and told us that they heard God tell us that we were going to go through a financial downfall. That messed with us a little bit. Not for long, but it did mess with us. It was kind of difficult to take. And we prayed into it, and it didn't seem right. We ran it through others that we trusted and see what they thought of it as well. That's when we realized that it wasn't of God. Had we not recognized the need that we needed to have it confirmed in our own spirit man, it could have really gotten us upside down. If we hadn't run it through people that we submitted to spiritually, that we trusted spiritually, it would have been eating away at us. That's when I first started getting the revelation that prophecy is meant to be an encouragement. Ever since then, verses have just jumped out at me as God reminds me of that throughout the scripture. And that I even had that revelation confirmed when I was going through some of the schooling for my classes. I heard almost the exact same thing as what God had already been revealing to me. That prophecies in the New Testament aren't doom and gloom. They're uplifting. They're edifying. They're encouraging. Here's a few verses that God's shown me these principles in. 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Just because somebody may say, thus saith the Lord, doesn't mean that they're speaking from God. There's a possibility that they're being used by a spirit other than the Holy Spirit. The enemy loves to lie and deceive. Just like in Antioch, there were false preachers. John here explicitly warns against false prophets as well. The internet can be a good thing and a bad thing. I've been connected with people all over the U.S., but it can also be a platform for people who try to use it to get a false message out. Be careful receiving from people that you do not know personally. Be careful receiving from people you don't have a relationship with, or that you trust the person who's introducing you to those people. 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 19, do not quench the Spirit, do not despise prophecies, test all things, hold fast what is good. Embrace prophecies. Holy Spirit is wanting to do stuff. Don't let that fire go out. Don't let it get smothered. Fan the flame of what Holy Spirit is doing. And it doesn't tell us to just take words without processing them. Test all things. The previous verse we looked at said to test the spirits. The best way to test things is to compare them with what you measure it against. How many people are familiar with the phrase gold standard? It's a standard that you measure something against. It gives you the most accurate test there is. The gold standard is 100% true, accurate. It's the reference point for everything else. For us, God's word is the gold standard. You can compare any prophecy to his word. You can measure it against his word. A prophetic word will never go against his written word. To use fancy Greek words here, all that mean the word, word. Both of these words are translated word. His rhema word will never go against his logos word. His spoken specific word will never go against his written word. So test the prophecies. It's okay. It's okay to question, God, is this of you? It's usually actually going to be a confirmation of something that God's already been telling you. So when you compare that to his written word, you recognize that God doesn't want harm for us. He doesn't want destruction for us. If it doesn't line up, you don't have to receive it. It's just okay, but you don't have to receive it if it doesn't line up to his written word. In fact, actually, it may mess with you if you do receive it and it doesn't line up to his written word. Even if it's from somebody you know, you don't have to receive it if it goes against God's word. It should be an encouragement. It should build you up. Hold fast to what is good, my Bible says there. If you're taking notes, 1 Corinthians 14, starting in verse 29, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one, that all may learn and be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. If you're not sure if a word is from God, or if that word is right, the best people to confirm the word is someone who also flows in the prophetic. It's the same spirit in all of us. So what Holy Spirit is telling you personally should line up with a word that you receive. Because it's the same Holy Spirit in both of us telling us that. If you already know this confirmation, there's really no need to ask or question, is this God? God doesn't want confusion or division, but peace and unity. See, the expectation is not in man, but in God. Whether it's a prophetic word or a teaching word, we should be expecting God to move and talk to us. He loves his children. No matter who it is that's speaking from the pulpit, whether here at New Life or any other church that you may visit, or move on to, we need to be asking ourselves what God is saying to us through this person. God uses normal people. Most often here at New Life, you have myself or Kem being up here, being the one teaching. But the important thing is to hear what God is saying. Because God still talks. God talks through a lot of people. You know, Jeff Clark is about as real as they come. He's done construction for many years. He grew up a Cajun boy from New Orleans. He's humble as all get out. Yet he recognizes as he goes how God speaks through him. Wednesday nights here, you guys get some guest teachers a lot of times. But my hope is that you hear what God is saying through them. Because I tell you what, we have more revelation come while we discuss afterwards and we hear what God's saying to you and you and you and you and what he's saying to me. And we kind of realize and connect things of what God may have been showing and revealing to others. And we all watch the same thing. We all heard the same words. But God reveals it to us personally. God uses people to build each other up. So I'm going to read 1 Peter 4:10 and 11 out of the Passion Translation here. Every believer has received grace gifts, so use them to serve one another as faithful stewards of the many-colored tapestry of God's grace. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as if though God were speaking the words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the same strength that God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to him belong the power and the glory forever throughout all the ages. Amen. Gifts are not for attention to ourselves. Every gift should be to glorify God with it. The gifts are meant to build us up. They are meant to encourage one another. They flow out of us because it's what God laid on our hearts, or he gave us instructions to do or say. Likewise, receiving the gifts from others should not be the intended goal either. Prophecy is meant to accomplish something. It's meant as a call to action. It's meant to stir us up and pursue what God has called for us. Don't get me wrong. I've been caught desiring to get that word too. Desiring to hear what God had to say. To find out what God was wanting to say to me through that person. But it wasn't until I realized that I was missing the point with wanting it that much. That I was missing the reason why God brought someone to have a word, or to teach, or to interact with us. When I got caught wanting that word so bad, where you practically got upset because you didn't have a word, God showed me what he was wanting to say anyway, though. It wasn't by getting a word from somebody else, though, that he was telling me this. It was getting a word directly. He started to show me how he wanted the relationship with him first, not through someone else. We can't have a relationship with God for anybody else, for any loved one that we might be interacting with. We can't have a relationship with God for them. He wants that personal relationship with every single person. He was showing that the word that he was giving through others was really just to reiterate, confirming what he was personally telling us. That he wanted to be the main thing to focus in on, not to take and look for someone else to do it for us. Yes, God uses Jeff and Nancy in the prophetic, but they aren't coming to give a prophetic word. They're coming because God wants to say something. Sometimes when it's the same thing that he's telling us, but through a different set of voice pieces, or a different perspective, or just hearing it out of a different mouth than what you're used to hearing, it impacts us all the more. Yes, the prophetic may come forth, but we need to be hearing what God wants to say. I remember one time there was a word spoken over Ashley and I, and I don't think we even hit the intersection here at 50 and 31. And we're talking and we look at each other going, how many times does God have to tell us this for us to do something? See, God wants us, he gives us that word to do something about it. If you remember nothing else today, remember this. And I know I've said it before. We can't let a word stop when we receive it and just let it hit us for a moment. It's meant to sink into us. It's a word that's meant to go into the fertile soil of our hearts and develop there. Yes, it's an encouragement for now, but it's something that we should be putting action against as well. Pray over the words that are given. Pray over words that you've received in the past. Let God reveal the timing of those words. There's a good chance that some of those words, we weren't paying attention to the timing that God was telling us. Or if he even revealed the timing. But the timing, when you keep it in front of you, you recognize that, hey, this is that timing. Sometimes when God shows us something, he's showing us something that we need to change in our own lives. If it's something that he's calling us to be involved with, he may also be telling us that we need to shed off something else, or a schedule that he wants us to change. What he's wanting us to be willing to rearrange. what he's wanting us to get rid of, to make room for the calling that he's calling us for. God is personal. He wants us to hear his voice all the time when he's trying to speak to us, whether it be through another person or in prayer with him, or even as we go about the routine stuff. God shows himself. He reminds us of things. He teaches us as we see things. But it's up to us to look and listen for him, though. Let's pray. Well, Father, we thank you for revealing yourself to us, God. Lord, we thank you for the personal relationship that you have with each and every one of us. Lord, for the personal calling that you have on each and every one of our lives, God. Lord, we recognize your voice through others, Lord. We recognize when you are speaking, God, and we listen for that. Lord, we accept those things that are of you, Lord. We reject those things that are not of you, God. Lord, we look forward to seeing what you are doing. Lord, we do pray for these upcoming meetings, God. We pray that you have your way in this all. Lord, that our goal is to come and experience what you want us to experience. We want to hear what you want us to hear, God. Lord, we look to you in it all. Lord, we thank you. We praise you. We love you, Lord. It's in your name we pray, Jesus. Amen.